Hope you all had a nice weekend. Welcome into another week, and we got a big week ahead. Oh, a lot to recap on a Monday. We'll get to it all. Welcome into the show presented by Walls Furniture and Mattress. We will recap what was a big Saturday for Wapahani boys basketball, the state runner-up in Class 2A boys basketball, and actually replay some clips that we played for you on the broadcast on Saturday. We've gotten countless amounts of requests of folks wanting to hear the broadcast, and if you want to relive the entirety of the call of that game, if you were there, if you were with family, unquestionably this weekend, there was a lot of family gatherings this weekend. Head to our podcast page where you can access the entirety of the broadcast that began at 11 o'clock. It went on about 4 hours of coverage of Wapahani boys basketball in the state championship on Saturday. So again, you can head to our website, WMUNMuncie.com, or you can head to our social media pages where there's a link there, or wherever you get your podcast from, it's available for you to listen to. WMUN Muncie is what you need to search out. So we'll get to that coming up here in a moment. A Ball State sports review and Purdue's on to the Final Four, and that means Delta Athletics alum head coach Matt Painter to his first Final Four. So congratulations to he and his crew, and we'll break down why they're there. Because if you watch the game on Friday and you watch the game yesterday, it was different, and every team is coming at Purdue in a very different way for obvious reasons, because they want to give Purdue different looks and try to basically throw them off, knowing that at the end of the day, Purdue's always going to try to establish their biggest mismatch, and he might be the biggest mismatch in the country, and that being Zach Edey, and he was phenomenal yesterday, but they did it in different ways, and that should strike fear into the rest of the teams, even UConn, that hasn't seen anything like this, because you can prepare for all of those different things, and then you get in between the lines, and it's a totally different ball game. How do you simulate 7-4 size? How do you simulate the amount of usage and the difference in moves and footwork and different ways they engage Zach Edey? And by the way, he's great on the offensive glass. He's great on secondary post feeds. I mean, they post him up, he backs down, he kicks it back out, then they repost him. I mean, it's just, there's so many different ways that he attacks you, and just when you think you have a run going, and he gets a couple of buckets back-to-back, alters a shot on the other end, it's very different. I mean, it's crazy that this is so foreign. Had we had this conversation 20 years ago, it would have been foreign to say, oh my gosh, look at that all-guard lineup. Because it was unheard of at that point. You know, it was largely believed you had to have a big man be the center of what you do on both sides of the floor. In this day and age, I still feel like you can obviously win that way, but there's a lot of other teams that go for 6'6 to 6'9 that can play inside and out, and Purdue found Zach Edey. And Zach Edey was very vocal about that after the game, how Purdue committed to him. Been that he was overlooked pretty much his entire career coming to this point. So anyway, Purdue is on to the Final Four. I think the entire state of Indiana is thrilled. Even IU fans. Yes, I get it. I know it's in some ways sacrilegious to root for Purdue, but it is a good story. It's a really nice story, and hopefully we'll see them continue to advance. And by the way, Monday is the Eclipse Day, and that would be the national championship night. So it could be a big day in the state of Indiana on Monday, where a decent amount of the state, including here, is going to be in the path of total eclipse. So we'll probably talk a little bit about that later in the week as well. So, Ball State Sports Rundown coming your way, too, here in a little bit. And we'll take your interaction at MarkWMUN on Twitter for anything you would like to interact about from the sports aspects over the weekend. Well, what can you say? The run is over. Wapahani boys basketball ends up being the runner-up in Class 2A boys basketball. And you know, I said this to a couple of my colleagues the other day when we had the broadcast on Saturday about it. Brownstown Central is incredibly impressive for a 2A basketball team. That's a team that had a top 60 schedule in the state. They played in the Hall of Fame Classic, and they played well even in six games when their star Jack Benner, the coach's son, who will be heading to Purdue, and by the way, they got another great one coming to Purdue. Goodness gracious, can he play? I mean, not just his scoring ability, which was on full display. He had a buzzer-beating three at the end of the first half that was that sent what was a 14-point lead to 17. I mean, it was he was doing a little bit of everything in the first half, but he is a marvelous passer. And when I watched him play, it reminded me of when Westfield came to Yorktown a couple of years back, and that was in the senior year of Braden Smith, and I think he had just committed to Purdue. And I never knew the full story, you know, kind of bridging the two things that are big stories in our state, and that being Braden Smith. And I remember hearing, hey, he's going to Purdue. And so we did the broadcast, and Westfield handled Yorktown on that night. But Braden Smith, I think, scored 25 or more. Maybe he even scored 30 in that game. He and Ken Hefner, who now plays at Evansville, put on a shooting display. And while many might have been infatuated with that performance from a shooting display, it was the passing that stood out. I mean, just here's how I would describe it. He attempted passes in between the lines that others wouldn't even think of, to attempt. Maybe the thought crosses your mind, and I can't get it through that window. And he would just drop it on a dime from one corner to the next with one hand into the corner. Now, Jack Benner had the highlight play in the Wapahani game when he was backing down left post, and from the opposite corner, he throws it on one skip behind his back in the opposite corner for a wide-open three for Brownstown Central. That was the flashiest play, but he had some passes where he's ranging to his right, off one foot, skip with two hands. I mean, the accuracy is off the charts from a passing standpoint. And if you watch any bit of Purdue over the last couple of weeks, you would probably say they emphasize the way you can pass the basketball. And Jack Benner, that might be what gets him on the floor early, because it's going to be a little different playing at the collegiate level and trying to get off some of the shots that he certainly attempted on Saturday. But from a passing standpoint, he can absolutely flat-out play. So you got to give credit, obviously, to Brownstown Central and everything. And first quarter was really what was a little bit of a shell shock. You know, you don't know if, obviously, you're on the stage. The length was absolutely a problem from Brownstown Central very early on. And then, you know, Wapahani went to halftime. We mentioned the three-point shot by Jack Benner. And then they come out of the third quarter, and they cut it down to six. I mean, Wapahani had a great spurt, got it down to six. And then there was an and-one the other way, kind of midway third quarter, and Brownstown Central was able to grow the lead back to 10 heading into the third quarter, and then had a little bit of a spurt there in the fourth quarter. Look, it's one thing to say, we know we're playing length. And there's another thing when you get in between the lines and when you shoot that shot and you've got that long range of a right hand that's right in your face. And maybe, you know, when they're 3-4 steps away from you, what would have been, you know, a 6-foot player compared to a 6'5 player, it's a different angle to try to get it over. And you're constantly thinking about that. I mean, it's always in the thought process in your mind when you're 6'4", 6'5", 6'6", defender, you know, and you know, you've got guys that are 5'8", 5'10", et cetera. It did make a difference early on, and I thought Wapahani did a marvelous job of adjusting. They did a great job in the third quarter, played what Matt Luce described as their game. and they made something of that game. I know there are a couple of plays here or there that you just wonder if they don't make this call, if you make this play and it's a six-point game, you get it down to four, what it ultimately ended up being. But Brownstown Central did what they needed to do to grow that lead back to double figures and ultimately get the 2A state championship title. I want to play a couple of interviews that was obviously played on our coverage after the game. An outstanding job by Rick Johnston, who you've heard on this station do a lot of play-by-play for us this season. He was our sideline reporter at Gainbridge Fieldhouse on Saturday, and amongst all the craziness, he was wasn't able to be on the floor. He was on the perimeter of the floor and happened to catch Matt Luce. We played this interview post-game. This was after the state runner-up appearance for Wapahani at Gainbridge Fieldhouse.
The club. What led to that big comeback there in the third quarter for you and the guys?
The third quarter is how we play. We got better shots and rhythm and made tougher shots. Their length in the first half, I thought we hurried a lot of shots and just didn't shoot it as well as we can, but give them credit. They were everywhere. The three-pointer at the end of the halftime was a big momentum breaker too, but I think we really had Brownstown panicked a little bit in the third quarter when we cut it to eight, a couple rebounds here or there, but it showed the grit and heart and what our team's all about.
Obviously a tough loss today, but an amazing season for you and the team and a magical last couple of weeks with everything's happened in the community. You had a pretty good seat to look and see the entire Wapahani section come out today. What was it like to see that sea of red going all the way up to the second deck?
Incredible. What a crowd by Brownstown and by Wapahani. We have a great following. We have great kids. I'd pay money to watch them play too. So to see the career that Nick Cook and Isaac Andrews and Mason Barton have, it's a great way to finish our season. Even though we didn't get what we wanted to, I'm very proud of our guys.
Coach, thanks for the time. Congrats on a great year.
Bet. Thank you.
That was from our broadcast on Saturday. Apologies, the processing on that interview certainly was a little louder than expected. That's user error right there. But Rick Johnston had a wonderful interview with Matt Luce, Wapahani head coach, after the game. And, you could see that in the third quarter, that things got a little bit settled. You were able to get to the halftime break, feel a little bit confident there. Camden Bell steps back, hits a shot. Then Isaac comes down, hits a shot. It just kind of got a little contagious. You got a couple of shots at the rim, and you slowly but surely made things a little difficult for Brownstown Central. It was really the one sequence of the game where Wapahani handled the size of Jack Benner. You know, there were times where Brownstown was up double figures in that second quarter, and they were force-feeding Jack Benner, having to make a decision. And you could see all the eyes of every defender is on Jack. Is he going to pass? Is he going to drive? Is he going to shoot? Because he had displayed all three areas of that game, and Wapahani's defense made him think. Made him think for a good portion of that third quarter. Now, after the game, a big moment for Wapahani basketball, but also the career of Isaac Andrews, who got the spotlight after the game of being the 2A Mental Attitude Award winner. And for those that maybe have not been to a high school event or have heard vague references to what the mental attitude means. There's one player from either side that's nominated by the school to possibly be the Mental Attitude Award. This is leadership. This is, a little bit of sports achievement, but also what you are as a student athlete. It embodies the entire high school experience. And Isaac Andrews was the 2A Mental Attitude Award winner. Our Rick Johnston had a chance to catch up with him on Saturday. Let's hope the audio is a little less loud on this one.
Joined by Isaac Andrews. First off, what does it mean to win the Mental Attitude Award here after the 2A state title game today?
I mean, it means a lot. Just proud of my guys that we could get here and all the support we've had the whole season.
You mentioned the support. You had a pretty good seat to turn around and see the entire town of Selma here. You guys filled all the way up to the second deck. What was it like to come out and play in front of the Selma folks one more time?
Well, we knew they were going to come out and they were going to be loud, but it was amazing for the last time, and I'm proud to be a Raider.
What was that third quarter like for you and the guys? You got down by double figures, big three-point shot for them at the end of the half, and then you guys came out guns a-blazing in the third.
Yeah, we knew we just needed to start making some shots and get open looks, and we got them, we made them, and we went on a little run there, helped us, but they responded with another run.
Isaac, congrats on a great career, buddy.
Thank you.
That is our Rick Johnston, who had both of those interviews after the game on the floor at Gainbridge Fieldhouse. Just a great work by him, and able to get those kind of raw emotions in the moment. But we sent this on the broadcast, and again, I invite you to if you want a chance to listen to that, you can head to our podcast page or wherever you get your podcast from in order to be able to hear the entirety of it. But Rob Fisher and I had a great conversation after the game about the way that Isaac Andrews has handled all of this throughout everything. First it was the focus on the all-time scoring title in the area. He gets that, and you know, I think conveniently for him and maybe the team, they did a good job of giving him a little bit of spotlight in the tournament, but the focus kept going to the next game because you're in the tournament, and there wasn't really a time to stop and celebrate because the focus was at that point winning a sectional title, which they did, and then you win a regional. Then you win the morning of the semi-state, then you win the semi-state, and oh my goodness, it's a state championship appearance. So, you know, but throughout all of that, as it was getting closer and closer and closer for Isaac, he would have been the last person that you would have expected that he was going through some sort of historic run, because the way he stayed steady throughout it all, I mean, again, it was almost like others had to reference it to him. He never referenced it because he was so locked into being the team guy he is and not making it about himself. And I know we've said that time and time again throughout this entire run, and even at the point where he wins the Mental Attitude Award on Saturday. That same demeanor, that same humble feeling, and as you heard every question, when it's kind of about him, and he made it about the team. I mean, as a young man and as as parents, you know, the Andrews family should be incredibly proud of how he represented the family, represented Selma, represented Wapahani, because by no means is it easy to do all these different things that Isaac Andrews has accomplished, but also to hold that humble attitude throughout it all. Rob Fisher and I talked about it after the game. That's as impressive as scoring 2,100 points in your career. The way he displayed that, and I thought it was very fitting for him to have a statewide sort of recognition point right there. Because our county has gotten to know him. Our county has gotten to see his great moments on the floor, gotten a chance to understand who he is as a person and a community member. And this county should be darn proud that he represented this county, he represented Selma, Indiana, and the way he's done it for all 4 years, and he deserves every bit of statewide recognition, and hopefully the next step would be an Indiana All-Star appearance, because he certainly deserves that. So thanks to Rick for all of those interviews and those sorts of things. We're going to get to more sports in a second, and I said this at the end of the broadcast, but folks, that is the final high school sports game of our season. Going through football, a little bit of girls basketball, and of course the boys basketball season. There has never been a year in my 10 years here that has lasted as long as this one. And there is not a season that I have enjoyed more than this one. And, you know, it's so easy to say, look, you follow a team that goes to the state championship. For obvious reasons, that's great. And it is. But there's a couple of reasons why, and I want to explain. And at some point, you know, we like to give you guys a little bit of a peek behind the curtain of how this work is done. I know the people that have been on the air for us this year, Rob Fisher, Jared Boomer, Rick Johnston, in a week where, you know, there's many different things going on. Our offices were closed, by the way, on Friday. everybody jumped in and wanted to help in order to make a pregame show happen that was a little bit different than what we had done before. Rick Johnston gladly wanted to be the sideline reporter. Jared Broomer wanted to host that pregame show to give the community an opportunity to kind of talk about the moment and also the news side of things. Steve Lindell willfully jumped in to supply some of those interviews and give a little bit of a different pregame show for obvious reasons. And we wanted to give some people some platforms to just talk about the entire moment and story that was going on. That exemplifies our team. You know, I use the analogy oftentimes when I say team, it truly is team. It's thrown out a lot. You know, we hear, you know, no matter where you work, you probably call yourselves a team. And I can honestly say, a team in my eyes is this: everybody gives something. Everybody sacrifices something, and everybody does it for the betterment of the entire product. And I can say full force, our team is the absolute definition of a team. And it is so much fun to work with who we have on our team because there is no I. It is a true team effort. And folks, people might think with broadcasting, and again, you know, we want to make sure every broadcast is a spotlight on the teams, on the schools, on the community. That's the focus of it all. But that doesn't start by just walking into the game, picking up a roster and saying, I'm ready to broadcast tonight. It means talking to both head coaches. We do that. We feel like it's very important to tell the story, to not just have the home coach, the area coach, but to have the opposing coach as well, to get to know that other team. Because as a listener, you are more informed having heard what the coach is talking about with their particular team and how they've gotten there. Very easily, we could just, you know, make it very much about our team here. And we do, obviously, knowing those teams and knowing the stories around those players and getting to know those stories and everything. But our goal here at Wolf Boom Radio in calling those games is all about telling the entire story. And telling the entire story is not having a biased broadcast with the team that's around here. We want to put a spotlight on the other team and how that combines and having a straight down the middle, honest call. And we really probably haven't talked about that very much, but I wanted to make sure people understood why we do it the way we do it. And our team embraces that. Our team wants to be able to tell the entire story because at the end of the day, we want these teams to do well, but we want to tell the entire story. But I said this to our crew on Saturday. I'll say it publicly here because I know we probably have some listeners that were listening on Saturday and others that may not have been able to catch the game yet. This crew is unbelievable, and we don't say thank you enough to you, but we need to say thank you to you, but I need to say thank you to our team because they put in a lot of work this year, more so than any other year, and I'm extremely proud to work with them. I also want to say a public thank you to our sponsors, not just on this program, because again, there's a bridge of some of the sponsors that we work with on this particular program and our high school sports product as well. And there's one common theme with this, okay? They value local sports content in our community. You know, things have changed, obviously. Things have shifted a little bit. And the fact of the matter is, we have had more people ask how they can get involved to make sure local sports content is front and center in this community. And I love working with people like that because they are community-minded and want to be able to be around that. And we are just so appreciative to work with each and every one of them to bring you the product that we bring you. So we say this at the end of every single year, okay? But I wanted to make it a little bit different this year because they are such a big part of what we do. And it's not like, hey, they're a sponsor and we don't engage. We are constantly working with them and they constantly want to work with us. And we're so thankful. I just can't say thank you enough. So our team's unmatched, and we appreciate all of that. It's been a heck of a year. I just want to say a big thank you to every single school's administrative department who makes it so easy on us to work with them, and we are appreciative of how you help us and how you allow us to tell those stories over the course of the year. We're not done yet. Obviously, we have a lot of winter or spring sports to discuss as well. The Coach's Show will be back at Crestview Golf Club Mulligan's Clubhouse Grill, but our live broadcast season has concluded until August, when football occurs again. So a big thank you to everybody involved. All right, thanks to those of you joining us on Facebook Live. Back to your regularly scheduled program. How about that? We have a lot going on this week. I'll tell you, we are on the road this week. Tell you where we'll be when we come back, and we're going to talk about Purdue, because goodness gracious, are they impressive. We'll get to all of that when we return. Just getting started on a Monday show, the Power Talk of Muncie, WMUN. Yes, welcome back in Power Talk of Muncie, the new WMUN. On this April 1st, I don't know how we hit the month of April, but here we are. We're always presented by Walls Furniture and Mattress, Nebo Road in Muncie, online at wallsfurniture.com. 90% of what's on the showroom floor in stock for you 48 hours or less. You know, yesterday, my wife and I sat on our patio, and we did have the conversation. We might need some more patio furniture. Well, Walls Furniture and Mattress has all of that for you to choose. And again, let's go back to it. 90% of what they have on the showroom floor in stock for you, 48 hours or less. That's the Walls Furniture and Mattress difference on Nebo Road in Muncie, and online at wallsfurniture.com. Yeah, we got home yesterday, and you know, I looked at the weather and I said, you know, I had to get that first mow in. So we mowed the lawn, and then we decided to sit out on the deck. It was pretty nice yesterday. A nice Easter Sunday that way. So hopefully the weather is kind of like that going forward. That'd be awfully nice. Very nice. Guess what else is nice? Purdue headed to the Final Four, and just good feelings all the way around for a program that has knocked on the door of a Final Four appearance for, what, the better part of the last 15 years. I think Matt Painter has been the coach at Purdue for 19 seasons, and you can go back to the years of Juwan Johnson and Etwan Moore and Robbie Hummel, and that's a team, one of the better teams to not get there. And it's been that long that Purdue's been in the national spotlight. Now, over the last 3 or 4 years, they have really been one of the top teams in the country, no doubt about it, because, you know, last year was a little bit of a letdown. A couple years back, they had the depth as well, but it's been a pretty steady run for Purdue and Matt Painter, and it felt like all of the emotion poured out yesterday by finally realizing the ability to go to the Final Four for the first time. And Purdue is such a difficult matchup. I mean, they are. I mean, that goes without saying, but you got to say it, because I don't think they played awfully well yesterday. Because Tennessee didn't play well. Purdue really didn't play all that well. Like, if you look at Braden Smith was a little bit erratic at some points. They didn't get a whole lot of contribution from the bench. Camden Heidi and Miles Colvin, who had a great run there in the Sweet 16 in the round of 32 game. You know, it just felt like they were rolling, and then they hit this game against Tennessee and really had to kind of refigure some things out. And in this particular game, it was really interesting the way that down the stretch, they were kind of living and dying by Zach Edey. And I found it interesting, because how many times down the stretch does a team have a player like Zach Edey that is a primary back-to-the-basket player, and they are dumping it into him each and every time to close out games? Well, I guess you don't have to look very far, because DJ Burns, the big man from NC State, did the exact same thing against Duke yesterday. They got it down to Burns and said, make a decision. We're going to live and die by what you do. Same with Edie. They were living and dying with Zach Edie. And there were a couple moments where you're sitting there and you're like, man, do you want to spread it around? And you know what? Hey, you can't question when something works. I mean, it absolutely fabulously worked. And here's what makes Purdue so difficult. Okay, Zach Edey can be a slow burn, as we've seen different times this year, where first half, you know, he has 11 points and 5 rebounds, and then he can explode in the second half. That's what happened against Utah State. That's what happened against Gonzaga. Gonzaga did a great job early on Friday doing some different things to get the ball out of Edey's hands, and then it just was kind of like a screw this, let's just dominate with Edie. And then yesterday, it was a full 40 minutes. Like, it felt like Tennessee said, you know what, hey, if Zach Edie beats us, so be it. We're not going to let Braden Smith get loose. We're not going to let Lance Jones get loose, Mason Gillis, et cetera. Really, the only other player on Purdue's team that was consistently a scorer yesterday or had the ability to be was Fletcher Loyer. He was flat-out phenomenal. Hit some big shots after big shots. Then Lance Jones hit a big three that certainly sealed some things in that regard. But ultimately, I mean, Edie dropped 40 of the 72 points that Purdue had, and it was just basically they'd get it down to him. They'd, you know, just let him work. And, you know, you think it's so easy from a big man standpoint to just get it to a guy that's 7'4 and make things happen. But he doesn't get rattled. You see him oftentimes on the catch. Take a couple of deep breaths, survey, have the ball out in front, then put it on the deck once, twice. Maybe he kicks it back out. It's a three. No, there's nothing there. One dribble, get it right back to him. The repost two or three times happened in the game. I mean, you do that to kind of keep the defense off balance. Then there were a couple times he took a couple dribbles inside. He'd outlet it and get a wide open one-on-one shot for one of his guards. I mean, he is so difficult to defend, because what do? Put two guys on him and then have single coverage all the way around, maybe even have a guy, you know, Lance Jones, Fletcher Loyer, Braden Smith, Mason Gillis, could be the other four guys on the floor. All four of them can shoot from the perimeter, every single one of them. So what do? Because you give those open shots and then you have to come out on them, then it's 80 single coverage. It's a big dichotomy. It is. And then the other part, which I think is the most impactful, is Zach Edey doesn't have to do anything defensively to make his presence known at times. You saw some of those Tennessee drivers make absolute business decisions. And even if they weren't afraid to drive in initially, just the presence makes them kind of twist and turn, and just because you don't know where he's coming from. And it was visible yesterday, and the only dude on Tennessee that wasn't afraid was Dalton Knecht, and he's a good player, really good player. Was able to hit 6 threes in the game yesterday, but he was the only dude that wasn't afraid. I mean, you could see everybody else just in that one extra second to think, because the presence of 7'4 in the post offensively, you kind of get it. You don't know what it's like when it's 7'4 lurking and you're driving to the rim. Because I think Edie had 2 blocks, but how many shots did he affect by just flat out being present? Many. On many. And this goes back all season long. This goes back to Utah State. This goes back to Gonzaga. I mean, every single time, you just don't see 7'4 size. You can somewhat prepare for it defensively, like if you're going to run two at him, if you know how you're going to switch up looks, who's the guy you want him to foul when he gets deep position. I mean, all those things kind of come into perspective. But for him as a defender in the lane, it is a different ball game with him there. And I mean, Tennessee is one of the top 10 teams in the country, and they got there for a reason. And you could watch and just see, man, does it just make you think ever so much? And that thinking and that mentality, when you just think a little bit longer, man, does that change everything? Absolutely does. So I just thought it was really, really impressive to watch the way that Purdue navigated not really playing their best basketball, to be honest with you, and figured it all out. But here's the other part of Purdue that makes them really, really special. Like, Matt Painter and his crew just do an incredible job developing, and there's been a lot made about the way they've developed Zach Edey, okay? That's obviously the biggest difference right now. But you look at Braden Smith. The knock on him was the size. He's turned out to be one of the top five point guards in the country. Fletcher Lawyer, I remember when he came out, I think, is it Homestead, I think he came from? And just a lights out shooter. But how many times have you seen shooters that get to the next level and don't end up becoming what they were in high school? Well, Fletcher Lawyer has really developed a lot more of just his shooting game. I mean, the floater game that he had going on yesterday was pretty impressive. He's not a bad defender, and he's not afraid to get physical. I mean, I know people made a lot of him running into the defender from Tennessee yesterday and how soft that was and all the different things you see, the ridiculousness on social media nobody really understands. But it was really, really impressive to watch him and the way he's developed. You know, the way that Mason Gillis from Newcastle, obviously, you know, we know he had the injury his senior year. He goes to Purdue and has really had to become somebody different in each and every year he's been there. This year, he is the sixth man off the bench, and he's turned into a spot-up shooter. He's tough. He plays physical inside. I mean, all the things that he's developed into, you know, the presence of mind to go get a Lance Jones, to make you a little bit different and have another guy that can handle the basketball and keep the pressure off of Braden Smith. I think that's what changed for Purdue this past year. The biggest deal is this. Ethan Morton, who is, I think, a graduate student, was a rotational player a year ago for this Purdue basketball team. He came in the other day at the end of the half against Gonzaga to foul twice because Matt Painter didn't want his primary players to foul. Ethan Morton was a rotational. He might have been the second or third guy off the bench for Purdue last year. And now he's coming in to do stuff like that. The selflessness is off the charts. And here's the deal. People are praising Purdue and praising the program and praising Matt Painter. And what you often do is this. Well, how can it be replicated elsewhere? I think the fact of the matter is this. You can't. This can't be replicated because it's unique to what Matt Painter's done. It's unique to the way he wants to run his program. You can't just say, I'm gonna run my program like Matt Painter. Yeah, you can have some basics there. You can have some different things that you know, he holds strong to, but you have to have great developers on your staff. You have to have a lot of different things, and people want to just replicate what success has done. It's kind of the same thing like with Dan Hurley at UConn. And people say, well, what is he doing that's so special, and how can you replicate it? I just think it's going to be really, really interesting to see how all of that plays out as people try to do the things that they are doing. And you know what's been very interesting about Dan Hurley and UConn and Purdue? They have kept their own, and they've developed them, and they've empowered them in that regard. Different. When everybody else wants to focus on the portal and everything around that. And by necessity, you have to react to the portal. I get that. I totally understand that. But somehow, some way, the two most successful programs this year have figured it out with their own. Have figured it out to, yeah, hey, go get a piece in the transfer portal, somebody that can be a piece. But largely, they bring these guys in and they develop them. Matt Painter recruited Mason Gillis, recruited Zach Edey, recruited Braden Smith, recruited Fletcher Lawyer. You look up and down Cam Heide, Miles Colvin. So they brought in one transfer portal player. Purdue did that. While everybody else is going after the transfer portal guys. And I get it all works around Zach Edey. I totally understand that. I totally get where that's coming from. But somehow, some way, they figured it out. It really is impressive to watch the way they've navigated all of this. So anyway, all right, when we come back, we're going to break down some Ball State sports-related content. Baseball won their series over the weekend, softball in action, volleyball, etc. We'll get to all of that when we return. Final segment of a Monday show after this. Potential voice of the Cardinals about, look, you're not out of it yet, but that being said, you're getting to the point where you got to put yourself in that position. So the difference of the three-game set you win, and by the way, Ohio had a better record than you did in Mid-American Conference play at the time. So it's a team in Ohio and Ball State that were right around the middle of the conference, and now you put yourself in a great position. And here you are coming this weekend with Miami of Ohio in town, and you have a three-game set with them. Miami is the fourth best team in the Mid-American Conference right now. It is still very early. Nothing's really going to be decided at this point. You go to Miami of Ohio. My mistake. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. That's going to be a very pivotal matchup. So you have a series with Miami of Ohio this weekend. And then coming up next weekend, you have Akron, which is a team right now that's at the bottom of the Mid-American Conference. So you come out of those two series and see where you're at. Positioning is going to be awfully, awfully important at the end of the day after, you know, really the next 2 to 3 weeks. So what a huge step it was for Ball State to get there. Ball State has won their last five games. That includes the couple of matchups they had with Southern Indiana. So, again, you know, I know that there were alarms sounded after the start for Ball State, but there's a lot still to go for Ball State baseball. So we'll certainly be talking a lot more baseball as we get into the month of April for sure. From a softball standpoint, Ball State softball is a little bit deeper in the season than is baseball. If things would load correctly for us, they had a tough weekend. Ball State is 2-7 in conference play at the moment, and have lost their last seven. They have a matchup coming up this weekend in Mid-American Conference play as well. For some reason, the computer isn't cooperating. So that's a little bit of what's going on in Ball State sports. Pacers have a very important week. They got a big win over the LA Lakers this weekend, and again, with the eight games that they had left to play, now I believe it's six or seven, this is going to be a very pivotal week. At the end of this week, they have a head-to-head matchup with the Miami Heat, which is one of the teams that is trying to grab that sixth position from the Indiana Pacers. So very, very important week for the Indiana Pacers, and you know, they had a nice weekend with a dominating win over the Los Angeles Lakers. So we'll see how it plays out. But it's 2 weeks left in the regular season. Then the play-in occurs, and then the NBA playoffs will start in the middle of April. The Pacers are most assuredly going to be a part of the play-in, but they have a real good chance of holding on to the sixth and final playoff seed in the Eastern Conference playoffs. So we'll dive into more of that as we go throughout the week. Coming up on Thursday, we're going to be live from Perfect Fit Plus in downtown Muncie, 4 to 5. We'll talk to a couple of people there, talk some sports, have a great, great time. And then the Eye in the Sky promotion is also in town there as well. So lots more to come this week. Thanks for joining us on a Monday. We're back with you better than ever tomorrow at 4 here on WMUN.